Welcome to the Kid Craddock Podcast. It's a condensed version of the show. We painstakingly smushed it together for your listening pleasure. Enjoy! Kid Craddock in the morning.
Kelly, you're excited, aren't you?
I am excited. My crush is coming into the studio today. Am I a little too obvious?
No. Yeah, especially seeing that his wife is going to be with him.
Oh, you think? Oh, okay.
And kids.
It's not like
that's sticky now.
It's a food crush, though.
That's what it is. It's a food crush.
Yeah, I love him
for his chicken fingers.
Who doesn't?
Todd Graves is coming in. You know, I love Raising Cane's. And they're doing something special today for past kids families. It's dine-in day where kids families eat free, and he's going to be in to talk about that about an hour from now.
Cool. What's kids, Kelly?
Well, kids is an organization that sends chronically and terminally ill children and their families on an all-expenses-paid trip to Disney World.
Let Al tell us what kids is.
Well, kids is an organization that it's really, like Kid said earlier, it's your way to feel grateful that you have healthy kids, if you are able to say that. And kids is... It's a smile on every kid's face. Jenna, what would you say that means so much to you about kids?
Jenna!
Well, you know what?
Goosebumps.
Jenna, what would you say?
What would you say? I'm like, where's he going with this? Means so much to you about kids.
I just had a problem stringing three words together.
You didn't even mention that we take the families on the trip.
I didn't mention anything that made any sense.
And speaking of the trip, the deadline to apply for this year's trip is July 11th.
Yeah.
And when I posted the link, some people had questions.
Okay.
You know, because we are based out of Dallas. That's where our show originates. People are like, do the kids have to be from Dallas?
No.
Of our listening areas across the country. We take kids from all over the place.
Yeah.
So, you know, and there were some questions about who qualifies for the trip or not. Get the application in.
Just try it.
If you qualify, you'll find out.
Yeah.
So
you can nominate somebody and surprise them.
You might not have all the answers because especially if you're trying to surprise someone.
Mm-hmm. But it'll get the ball rolling.
Exactly.
Speaking of kids, I got an email from Stevie Joe Rosenbaum's
mom. You
have
to think every time. Write it down.
His mom.
His mom.
And Stevie Joe was on The Voice this past year. And he made it. He almost made it to the top 12. He's kind of like our
Tim Halpern.
Got cut like right before.
Was he on one of the teams? Did he get far?
He was Team Usher.
Voice. Usher. Okay.
He was Team Usher.
That's exciting.
And he had a lot of soul in his voice. A lot of soul. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you just listen to him and close your eyes and listen to him, you'd swear he's a black dude. I mean, he's got a lot of raspy soul in his voice. Anyway, his mom said, hey, he's coming through Dallas. He lives in Tyler. And he's coming through Dallas. We'd like to do something for kids. I'm like, sure, bring him on up. Let's have him up at my bar and we'll bring Caroline up and they can sing together.
Okay.
And that morning, they were actually on TV, and they sang together to get people, you know, let them know about this, because we didn't really have a lot of time to put this together. But anyway, let me let you listen to a clip of Caroline Craddock and Stevie Joe singing.
And now I got you in my space, so won't let go of you. I got you shackled in my embrace, I'm latching on to you. Now I got you in. I'm latching on to you. I feel so encaptured.
I mean, just a really, really talented dude. And I was telling people at the bar, I said, you know.
Talented duet.
Yeah, for sure. I was telling people, mark this down because you're not paying to hear this dude. But in the future, I really could see him, you know, doing some type of a tour where you have to actually pay big money to see this dude. I mean, he's got a lot of talent. So anyway, the whole point of the evening was to raise some money for kids. And we didn't charge a cover charge or anything, but people did make donations, and we had this big bucket set up. And we had a little girl by the name of Claire. I believe Claire was 6 years old, and she had a birthday. Well, let me let Claire tell you how she raised the money.
For my birthday, I told all my friends, instead of presents, give me money for kids.
Isn't that sweet? How much did you raise?
$6,050.
Right.
Wow.
Mouth dropped.
She got rich friends.
Right. You have some very rich friends.
Really, JC?
You raised $6,000 by yourself for your birthday? Oh, my God. You could have bought a car. But thank you very, very much. Give it up for Claire.
I talked to the mom after. She said our goal was to send a family to kids.
They did.
Wow. They did.
I have to just give them another round of applause.
How old was she? Six?
Six, yeah.
They heard, you know, I just like posted on Facebook, heading up to see Caroline for this Kids Kids fundraiser. Her mom jumped in the car. They said, we had this money. We were looking for the chance to donate it. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
And they just tore. Awesome. It took them like 45 minutes to get there. Yeah. They wanted to be able to give it at an actual.
So she had a birthday, a six-year-old birthday party
yeah.
or house, and people just
and
donated the money
for
there?
Donations mm-hmm. instead of presents.
I hope they'll email me. I didn't get their email address. I hope they'll email or call or get in touch yeah. with us some kind of way. So I want to do something kind of nice for them or invite them to the send-off or something.
Yeah, that I forgot is so to get cool. any contact information
oh, I'm
from
sure,
them.
I'm
and
sure
I
you can
just kind of assumed
please
he
email
did.
Me. Yeah.
If you're listening, contact Kelly because Al doesn't read his emails. yeah.
Claire and her little sister Connie.
Uh-huh.
If you think of little six-year-olds, they don't like sharing half the time. So
yeah.
for her to do that.
That's a reflection of parents. I mean, they just instill that
great
in them. That's
job.
Awesome. That's awesome. So, you know, unfortunately, she.
It's really funny because, just a really brief aside, yeah. I did that 1 year. I asked for donations to kids from instead of birthday presents, and uh-huh. one person gave me a check for $100.
Everybody else gave you
and
presents?
Claire's friends gave her $6,050.
$6,000.
Everybody else, and my friends ignored me. They give me candles. So I got candles, which kids thoroughly enjoyed.
Uh-huh.
And a $100 check.
It was awesome. And our donations that night, aside from Claire, well, the people over there were not real big drinkers.
Okay.
Because I was looking around, I saw a lot of the red cups, the bigger red cups, which means either water or Cokes.
Well, so, it was Monday night.
I know, it was Monday night. So, you know, I
jeez,
think all together.
He's critical of the.
No.
He was giving.
I know.
You know, everything that they spent went to the charity. So, when I give you the total, Claire's like way up here and everything else was kind of, you know, the total we made was probably, including Claire.
no, don't include Claire.
No, including Claire.
You can do the math.
Including yeah. Claire, it was about $7,200. So, still, you know.
You know what? Claire did it.
Claire put us over the top, man.
If it wasn't for Claire, Al.
So you made
Monday night. Yeah, people aren't drinking.
It's a tough night.
Yeah, it's a tough night. You know,
it's a step up from your bikini pub crawl for people with cancer and stuff.
Oh, well, a big step up.
Because you only made like $15.
I don't
off
think
of
we've
one.
Made anything on that one. But I appreciate everybody coming out and appreciate Caroline and Stevie Joe. It's an awesome evening for kids.
Yay.
The Kid Craddock Morning Show is back.
Welcome to another episode of Alex the Intern's Love Life.
As Alex turns.
Hey, Alex the Intern.
Good morning, guys.
How are you feeling after your big segment yesterday on the show?
I feel great, actually. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
You went on Facebook and
yes,
read some messages.
Oh boy, there's a lot of stuff out there right now.
Yeah.
So what was the fallout?
It's tough out there in the social media world.
Well, this all started just because JC was calling you out for ragging on guys and how they treat women, and that you've had a hard time because you're a really nice guy.
He is
finding a girl that wants a nice guy, but then we learned that. You're single, and your best girlfriend of like 7 years is single. You've never crossed that line.
You kind of wanted her, but
both of you are kind of open to it.
Both have wanted to cross the line, but I think at different points. And now they're both uncertain whether either one of them really wants it
exactly.
or not.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Was your response mostly positive or negative yesterday, Alex?
I would say it's 50-50.
Really?
The girls that commented obviously loved it. Mm-hmm. The dudes, mm-hmm. oh man, that was
the dudes went after
that,
you.
Well, you threw dudes under the bus.
You did say 99.9% of dudes are
no, 99.9% of the ones he works with.
He changed that
but
to just
know,
Al. Though.
You know what's funny is they were hating on me, but they don't even know who I am.
Right.
So
well, get used to that.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to be on the radio,
absolutely.
Well, here's a little recap because this segment may have spun that into a romantic relationship for Alex and his best friend Katie.
I've read that women love a bad guy. Why is that? I want a girl who loves me for who I am. I want a girl who appreciates me. I promise I'll treat you well.
Okay, so what was the... Was there an actual instance? Like
there
this was.
Was
a Saturday at 6 p.m.
Okay,
that
so what happened?
Okay, so my best friend, she always goes out with her friends.
Okay. I see what this is going.
Okay, right. You're in love.
Love with your best friend.
All right. On the phone with us is Alex's best friend.
I mean, we've just always been friends. You know, like when we first met, I was interested. But he always liked... You know, the other girls.
Yeah.
So at that point, I assumed it was like friend zoned. And so it's just always been that way.
She is literally the only friend I have. I mean, honestly, that she knows everything about me. And if I were to pursue this and it were to end 7 years, I mean,
I think
that's
a lot.
You're looking at it pessimistically.
You got to cross that line.
I know.
Alex.
Sometimes
you want to ask her something, Alex?
Hey, Katie, can you actually take a day off work and go out with me one day?
Woo! That's not how
I can.
How about I book the dinner? Okay. Okay. And then you guys go, and then you'll give us the update after and let us know how it is.
Oh, my God.
And we watched a little relationship start to blossom.
Did we?
Did we, Alex?
We did. You know, it's funny. I called her yesterday when I left the studio, and it was a great conversation. The first couple minutes, it was, you know, how was it like being on the radio?
Yeah.
It was cool, you know? And then we're like, so, you know, about that conversation we had on the radio. It was kind of awkward.
Has it gotten awkward?
Is it weird?
It did. It did get a little awkward. Then she finally asked, so everything you said, I mean, was that true? And I said, absolutely. I mean, it was all true.
That's like a movie.
Yeah, and it was really funny. It was hilarious to me.
Did you guys make out in the rain or anything?
No.
No, not yet? Okay,
no.
Good.
It was. I haven't seen her in over a month, so.
Oh, wow.
I thought you just got back from a cruise.
It was a month ago.
Oh, that's when it was.
Yeah, just trying to find the time to make them dinner reservations. Like, when is this going to work for you guys?
Yeah, we're both very, very busy. She has 2 jobs. I have 3 jobs.
Yeah.
Guess what, Alex? We all make time for the things we want.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
And we did.
Well, you know what? Since she's so busy, that gives you plenty of time to prep for this, Alex.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Prep?
That's why we enlisted our serial dater, Psycho Shannon.
Psycho Shannon?
Who knows all the rules of the dating game,
mm-hmm,
to prep you for your beautiful date. Right, Shannon?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Hey, Shannon.
I'm going to take you on a practice date.
Oh, boy.
What?
Right. Oh, yeah.
A practice?
Oh, yeah. Shannon's gonna train this young man.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, I figured that if you can deal with me and you can survive a date with me, then you can survive anything that your best friend can put you through.
That's probably
so,
not true.
All right, the only question I have is,
right,
what do you know about heterosexual dating?
Oh, Shannon knows everything.
I mean, dating is dating.
Right.
I mean, honestly, if you've dated somebody, you've dated them all. I mean, the only difference is that we're not going to...
Yeah, but are you going to be...
Are you going to teach him
how to be the guy on the date? Or are you going to pretend to be the...
No, I'm going to wear my evening gown.
Oh, not that brown one that you wore to Second Chance Prom like 10 years ago?
It's navy blue.
Because how are you really teaching him anything unless you flip the roles?
What do you mean flip it?
I can be a girl.
Well,
yeah, Shannon's got this.
I can be a girl, and I can be the most difficult girl in the world if I have to be. And if he can deal with the most difficult girl in the world, then he can deal with his best friend.
Well, I believe
Katie doesn't seem very difficult.
And he's known her for 7 years. I would think it would be harder to take Shannon on a date because you don't know what
she likes. I don't
know
anything
likes.
About Shannon.
Well, this is perfect.
But Shannon, I would love to go on a date with you.
Okay, well, then it's set.
Practice
awesome.
Date.
I can't wait.
I just need you to come ask me out. And then if I agree.
You actually asked me out, though, so
yeah.
I'm not sure.
You're supposed to ask her out.
Well this is where I'm being difficult. I need you to come ask me out.
For
so,
Shannon, would you please go on a practice date with me?
I'm pretty busy, so let me look at my schedule,
okay.
And then if it works out, then yes, I will.
Yeah, I'm busy, too. So.
Are you guys going to go to dinner?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then back to Shannon's apartment.
Are you taking him over to your part of town, Shannon?
Oh, are we going to go to dinner?
Yes.
Oh, I'm busy at night all week.
Okay.
So maybe something during the day would be better.
Maybe you can pencil me in for lunch or something.
And I don't like food, so probably a meal date isn't going to work out.
You don't like food?
Okay.
Yeah, food's not good for me.
He's making it tough on him there, Shannon.
Yeah, so maybe we can go ride on the city bus and sightsee.
Shannon, don't make it too.
So there's going to be nothing.
Right on
maybe
the
city bus sightsee this weekend.
I don't know how to do the city bus, so if you can teach me how to do public transportation, that'd be awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Okay.
All right. So,
how long has it been since you've been on a date of any sort with a guy, Shannon?
Let's see. When did I accidentally admit to?
You didn't accidentally.
Yeah, it was an accident actually.
Oh, okay.
Probably about 13 years.
Okay.
Wow. Look at that,
Alex. Yeah. When was your last date?
Probably October.
All right.
All right.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
So we got this, yeah.
Yes.
We're good. We got
so,
this.
So, yeah, we'll do this.
Okay.
You're going to be so ready.
She's a little older than you, Alex, so she's been around the block a couple of times. She's got some miles on the tire.
She's not been around that block that many times.
Yeah, that's true. She's been circling to the left.
Relatively new to that block again. She just moved back to the block.
Is it like riding a bicycle?
Yeah.
I think so.
Sure it is.
Is it?
Well, I can't wait to hear it because we're going to record it as well.
Oh, great.
So, can't wait.
Are?
Oh, yeah, we're going to do that.
Oh.
Shannon, I'm excited.
Especially the kissing.
Oh, lesson. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm really good at that.
I'm dreading it.
Why?
I'm dreading it for you.
Why?
You know, it'll be great practice.
I'm good company.
Shannon is very, very nice.
I'm good company.
I like Shannon. She's really cool.
Okay, but see, now she's going to be doing a bit, and your life, your night is going to be hell.
Yeah.
It's all right.
It's not a night. It's a day. Shannon's busy at night.
It's a day.
It's a day date.
Yeah.
All right.
Side note, one time I had my hand cuffed to Shannon's ankle. at a hotel, and we had to go to the front desk, see if they could get us
separated. Oh, that's for the after-hours show.
Oh, see, that's fine. Good idea.
I'm just telling you because Shannon likes that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Bring handcuffs.
Oh, and that's when I was still dating boys.
Yeah.
See there?
So we wish you luck on your practice date with Shannon, Alex.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And your potential relationship that may or may not bust.
And maybe you should stick around and get some more advice from our resident love expert.
And I really am wearing the gown, so you better dress appropriately. Otherwise,
I will.
I'm not going in public with you.
So you're
going
to wear a fancy gown on the bus?
Yes.
Love letters.
Lord.
Love letters to Kelly.
Time for love letters to Kelly.
Thanks, Alex.
Dear Kelly, you are the love expert.
I am.
My husband is a wuss when it comes to disciplining our kids.
Dang.
He makes me be the bad guy, and I'm sick of it. He gets home from work before me, sees our kids do stuff they're not supposed to do, does nothing about it, and then he tells me to punish them right when I walk in the door. First of all, I deserve at least a second to go to the bathroom after sitting in traffic before having all of this thrown at me. Second of all, I'm not the only parent. And third, why should it be on me to do the punishing and he does the comforting every time they're bad? I'm fed up with me being the disciplinarian and him being fun dad. Any advice, Claudia?
I really don't have any advice for that.
Good cop, bad cop.
Love letters.
I really don't. What do you do when you married a wuss who wants to be the good guy? How do you fix that? How do you fix that?
You're supposed to take turns. One time you'd be the bad guy.
Obviously, they've discussed
this. That's how it should be. Yeah.
And he is not changing. And this is the way it is. This is your lot in life. I just don't know how you fix that. Okay, you try like the sitcoms. I'm going to just take off mom duty. I'm going to let things go, you know, helter skelter, and the comedy ensues. And then everybody at the end of the, you know, 22 minutes plus the 8 minutes of commercial breaks realize, oh, mom was right. Let's all get along.
Life isn't
like that. So how do you make somebody do what they obviously are never going to do? But it's a respect issue.
So it's profound.
So what,
I don't know. But see, I don't know. No, I wouldn't say divorce. But what do you do? This is usually the role reversal, like where the mom does that.
Yeah,
wait till your father gets home. Your husband just flipped the script on you.
Wow.
And that's your lot in life. I don't know. Honestly, I'm so sorry. I don't know what to tell you to do, except you're the disciplinarian and your husband's the good guy.
Wuss.
And sorry, you picked him.
It's just so hard. It's so hard.
Sometimes you got to accept, my bad. I picked him.
But it's hard to get mad at the kid sometimes.
No, it's not. You can get mad. You get mad.
You get mad anytime you want.
But if you're the dad and you're at work all day and you get home, you don't want to be the mean guy because you're already missing half the day.
Did you hear, though, in this scenario, he's home first.
Yeah.
And she's sitting in traffic and gets home. And the second she walks in the door, he says, oh, the kids did this and this and this. You punish them.
Right.
That's kind of
I don't know how you fix that, because I'm sure if they have not talked about it, then talk about it. Otherwise, I'm sure they have talked about it. And this is just the way it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I am so sorry. I don't know what to tell you to do.
Because that's just going to push you to hate him.
Yeah.
It is.
It's going to cause horrible problems.
And
like
I'm sure she feels resentment
now
already.
Now she's lost respect for him, too. Once you lose respect for your partner.
The kids will, too, at some point.
Oh, yeah.
They love it now when they can go to the parent and get away with it.
Kids know they can walk
respect.
All over
respect. Yeah.
Yeah. They know when
it's like when the husband leaves the underwear. And the floor, and the wife says, hey, you know what? I'm going to ignore that until he picks it up. That's one way in that situation. But this situation, you can't ignore your kid, ignore disciplining your kids. You still have to
have a team of comedy writers writing how it's going to play out at the end, but you don't.
Yeah,
so that's why I just don't know what to tell you to do, except I'm really sorry.
I feel you.
There you go. We're really sorry.
That's kind of a first.
Love letters.
She stumped the love expert.
Love letters to Kelly.
She stumped everybody. I don't know what to do either.
What do you do?
There's nothing.
That's who you married. That's who you chose to father children with.
You got a wuss.
And you're going to tell me he showed no signs of lack of confrontation, lack of accepting responsibility.
Right.
These are things you look at. This is why you go to premarital counseling, because you're all lovey-dovey, and a neutral party will sit down with you and will ask you questions. How do you feel about disciplining children? How do you feel about sharing bank accounts and things that you don't bring up until after you're married and then it's too late?
Right.
So, I mean, you married this guy.
Don't have any more kids. How about that?
Yeah.
With him.
Dear Kelly, you are the love expert.
Mm-hmm.
So my best bud screwed up and cheated on his girl.
Uh-oh.
I told him it was a bad idea, but he did it anyways.
So he asked for it.
Sure you did, buddy.
Should I cheat on my girlfriend?
Yeah. Okay. You were probably there.
Guys will do that at night at the bar and be kind of like, I'm going to do something bad.
And he didn't say anything. He got caught in the act, and things have been really, really ugly since. Our girls are also best friends, by the way, so that makes things even worse. Now I'm in trouble, even though I really didn't do anything wrong, because I didn't tell the girls what was going on. So now my girl doesn't trust me and says I'm just like my buddy, and I might as well have cheated too.
Oh, Lord.
Which I don't understand. Is she just being crazy, or did I really mess up? There is a bro code, you know, and I couldn't break it. He's been my friend for a lot longer than I've been with her, Miles.
Just keep reassuring your woman how much you love her and who's so pretty and you never know anything to her. I mean, girls, she doesn't let this go. She's going to end up ruining the relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. You can't expect your guy to tell you everything. Like that bro code thing, girl has to respect that.
Yeah, we're not going to say anything. Plus, you tell me this all the time, Kelly. It's stay out of things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in your place to jump into people's
business.
You always tell people this. Stay out of it.
Sometimes you just need to stay out of it.
Like, mind your business.
Sometimes when you see something's going wrong, like with my friends, I'll tell them one time.
Right.
This is what I see. This is how I feel about it. I'm not going to say anything else because you know how I feel. And if I'm just going to keep harping on you, you're not going to be around me anymore. That makes me annoying.
Yeah. And
I said my piece, so my conscience is clear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if your girlfriend's going to keep hounding you that you're just as guilty by association,
that's
why do you want to be with a whack job like that anyway?
That's on her.
This is, again, one of those signs. This is what life's going to be like with her forever.
Anything your friends do.
Do I want to be with this kind of crazy nuts? Maybe you do.
No, you don't.
Maybe he does.
He might be the kind of person that likes that little drama.
I'm gonna tell you, there's more crazy girls up in the bar having men with them than the sane ones. Us number eight sitting in the corner, buying our own damn drinks.
love letters to Kelly.
Dear Kelly, you are the love expert.
Yeah, I'm just tired. I'm just grumpy.
Kelly's having problems with the house.
Dear Kelly, you are the tired love expert.
Yeah.
I'm a 23-year-old guy who has always had best friends who were of the opposite sex, the female persuasion, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Don't even think that I swing the hay way, because I don't. Okay. I even have a girlfriend. She's hot. She's smart. She's successful and everything a guy could want, except for one thing. She can't handle my female friends. So basically, I guess she's insecure, which I don't get. I've given her no reason to distrust me. She's known about my female friends since day one. In fact, I met her through one of them. Every night out is a fight. I will not drop my friends for her. That's a conversation we had in the beginning of our relationship. However, I reassure her that she's the only woman that I see in that way. How do I reassure her?
You break up with her. Every night with her is a fight? You signed up for that?
Yeah.
Man, are they really only... Does he really think this is his soulmate? If you really think this is the only person meant for you and you're willing to live your life in this kind of discord, keep on dating her. My advice to you is break up with her. If you want to just cancel out all your friendships for the sake of one woman, and if she can control you in this way, she's got you. She knows she can control you in every other way.
It sounds weird that a dude only goes out with girls.
It is, but that's his thing.
Yeah.
You know, and there's girls that have nothing but guy friends.
Yeah.
There are girls that just aren't girls. They have a bunch of guy friends and that can be platonic. Jenna is sort of, she has girlfriends too, but Jenna has a lot of guy friends and a lot of male sensibilities.
And I take that into consideration because I think that's something that would be hard for an insecure guy that didn't trust me.
You have to have a secure man.
Yeah.
You have hooked up with a girl that's hot, that tickles little parts of you that haven't been tickled by anybody else in a while.
But
there's somebody else.
Attention.
And I would not sign up for someone that every time I see them, it's a fight. And you see couples like that.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know how they do it.
And they stay together.
I don't know how they do it.
All they do is
fight. It's exhausting. And you know what? Who's exhausting for? It's for the people around you that have to be with you and watch that.
I mean, when it's really like a fight. Not like a little jokey.
I don't be around people like that.
I don't either. I don't want that kind of energy in my life.
Man, the whole room just darkens when they walk in. Nobody wants to be around you when you're with her.
Because you know you go out for a drink or two, and then she's going to get a drink or two in her, and it's going
to
be on.
And if he stays with her long enough, he won't have to worry about choosing his friends over her.
Right.
The friends are going to go away. They don't want to be around her either.
Right.
So just stick it out and wait for your friends to leave.
Basically. That's what dating is for. Dating is for weeding out the people you don't want to marry.
Yep. Hashtag Kelly be knowing. Kelly be knowing.
That is Love Letters to Kelly. If you want to write a love letter to Kelly, go to KidNation.com. We have a nice little Love Letters to Kelly tab right there for you. You write, we read, she solves it.
Boom.
Back to more of the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
The Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Bye. told, yeah.
Do you guys like Sting?
I love Sting.
The Police and...
Oh, yeah.
All these songs. You know, they've made him quite a bit of money over the years. Upwards of over $300 million.
That's crazy.
And he made headlines yesterday because he was giving an interview, and Sting said that he, with $300 million, has hardly given any money to his children and plans on leaving none of it to his children.
Well, spending it all.
Does he have a bunch of kids or something?
He says, yes, I think he has six. Some with Trudy, right? And some from, I don't know.
No, no.
I don't, honestly, with the way he is, who knows?
But the last names are all Sumner. That's all I know. So they all have the same daddy.
Yeah, he was doing this interview and he said, I told my kids there's not going to be much money of that $300 million left because we're spending it. We have a lot of commitments. What comes in, we spend, and there isn't much left. He said, I certainly don't want to leave them trust funds that are albatrosses around their necks. And he said, now that they've needed money, they all have a good work ethic, which he said was important to him because he grew up very poor and was taught he had to work for everything he got.
Cool.
He said, even he doesn't live like he's, you know, superstar celebrity that he likes to. You know, they buy homes and travel and whatnot, and he spends it for work. But he's like, I like to be a regular citizen and go to bars and get my own luggage. And
yeah, but he still goes home to his multi-million dollar flat, you know, because that was just Sting, where Sting and Trudy put their place on the market. I love when they say that we like to live like normal people, but they don't live like normal people. By hanging out in a bar, he feels a sense of normalcy, but he's flying private. He's living in castles. Come on. And I don't think his kids have ever suffered for anything.
No.
No, and a couple of them have been successful. One was an actress in a movie that did well, and he said they've all done okay. He said if there was a super emergency, he obviously would help, which I think most parents would like to do that for their children. But, you know, it creates, and I remember Warren Buffett saying this, you know, he's one of the richest men in America, and he says, you know, he's given no money to his kids, and there's been stories that some of the grandchildren and kids have just been very, you know, bitter, and it's kind of torn the family apart because they're like, I'm an artist. I'd like a little bit of help.
Right. He might be doing them a favor, because so often people with this kind of money, they die, and the families just fall apart because they're just squabbling all the time over all this money. It doesn't have to be a lot of money. You could die and have $50,000, and you got two or three people squabbling over.
Even poor people squabble over
crap. Small stuff. Like the dresser, you know.
My blanket.
Whatever, you know.
People will fight over a blanket when somebody passes away.
When you're talking, the ugly comes out when it involves money.
Yeah, for sure.
Families will turn on each other's siblings.
Then he talks about spending it all, because I guess the lesson always is they say die poor. Because if you die with a bunch of money, you have to pay tons of, you know, death tax on it.
He probably has so much allotted to charities after he dies.
A lot of what people do, though, to die poor is they give the money away to family before they die.
Yeah.
Do you have to pay taxes if you are handed money?
Capital gains tax? I don't know.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah, probably sure, so. If it's over a certain amount, but it's not nearly as much as they take if you die with millions and millions of dollars. So we want to hear from you, 800-KID-LIVE. If you're a stingy parent, or if you just agree with Sting.
800-543-3548.
800-5-GEEK-IT.
I can see this. I mean, I can see this mentality. I think it was a basketball player not too long ago. I want to say it was Charles Barkley, but I want to throw him under the bus. But he said, my kids ain't got now rebound. I'm taking this money. I'm going to do stuff with it. Other than give it to him to teach them to work for a living, you know.
I see some people that are well off that have kids, and they will supply them with a place to live and a car, as long as they're working toward something. And some of them, you know, teachers don't get paid very well. But I have a friend whose parents are incredibly rich, and she lives a nice lifestyle because her dad said, "Hey, as long as you teach and you have a job and you're working hard."
Mm-hmm.
I will give you
trying to help you.
I will help you out.
Not spoiling the children, because that ruins kids. You see a lot of that. But at the same time, what's the point in making tons and tons of money, you know, and working so hard if you don't want to, I don't know, let the kids enjoy it?
Share the wealth?
I mean, what's the point?
Yeah.
Well, they can go on vacations and do nice things, but they don't need to necessarily have Picassos hanging in the foyer.
Yeah.
Right.
Or, you
and
know, $100,000, you know, pinky rings.
Don't be flashy.
I bet they drive nice cars. I bet they go on really nice. I bet they eat at really nice restaurants.
Oh, absolutely. Alicia, you have a rich dad, but you're not going to get any of the money?
No, I'm not. I'm a 23-year-old Indian woman. So me and my dad had a falling out since I lost my V card. Since then, he just doesn't. I just don't want the money, honestly. We disagree on certain things, certain viewpoints and everything. So all of his money, I told him to keep it. So I work my own. I pay myself through school. I pay all my bills.
See, that's good.
Man, now, is it worth it?
But how
are
you
still with him?
How do you, are you still with the guy?
No, that was when I was 17.
Okay.
How do you find out, Alicia? You told him?
We don't know. You tell us what?
We're not judging.
How do you find out?
Found out about
how'd your dad find out? Yeah.
That started this whole thing.
How did he find out?
Yeah.
Well, since I broke up with him a year and a half later, he decided to tell my cousins, and my cousins decided to tell my dad.
Oh, what a jerk. You learned from that, right?
You should charge him a couple million.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, good luck, Alicia. Hopefully it gets better for you and your dad, okay?
Thank you.
Man.
The family. Yeah, family stuff like that
dad.
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take it out of a man. You don't want your daughter having that.
No.
I don't want to hear about that.
See, we didn't have a lot growing up, and I'm kind of glad because I saw my dad, and I saw him work, and you know, I think that's where I get a little...
Your dad worked hard out.
You know, and I like that.
Yeah.
You know, I like that that's where I learned that from, and I hope I can instill that in my kids as well. So I don't know if my dad had been rich.
Going well, I think. Mm-hmm.
If my dad had been rich, I don't know how that would have changed me growing up.
I don't know. I found though that some of my friends that had a lot of parental money and they weren't, you know, they didn't give it to them and had to work. They were very resentful of their parents, even though they worked hard and it taught them to go out and earn money.
Mm-hmm.
It strained the relationship because they see their parents so well, you know, doing well. And when they're struggling, they're like, I'm your child. Why aren't you helping me a little bit?
It's all in a person too. I mean, once you got to be accountable to yourself. You know, I know rich, lazy people, lazy kids that grew up rich. And I know poor kids that are lazy as well. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean, okay, if you have money, you're going to be lazy.
Laziness is laziness.
Yeah, lazy just lazy.
It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor.
Right.
You're lazy,
right.
You're going to be lazy.
Right.
We got this comment on Facebook from Jasmine. She said, when my grandfather died, my grandmother informed the family she was not leaving any money for us. She was going to travel all over the place for the rest of her life.
Great.
And the whole family supports her decision.
That is great.
That's cool.
Because grandma and granddaddy earned that money for themselves.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's her prerogative. I have a feeling I should leave them a little something.
Maybe a little bit. But that's what Kenzie's grandma does. My wife, her grandma, they made a little bit of money from stocks back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And she decided to take all that money and use it on traveling. So she travels, but she takes a couple of the grandchildren along with her every trip. So everybody, you know, you're not going to get money in the end, but you get a nice life experience from that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you get to share it with your grandma.
You have to get over the thing that somebody owes you something.
Right.
Right.
You have to get past that. It's nice if you get it, but you have to get past the fact that you're owed anything because you didn't earn it.
Or maybe you did earn it and you don't get anything like Ernie. Right, Ernie?
Yeah. So I moved here about 9 years ago for a family business, working about 70, 80 hours a week. They told me that I'd be running that business one day, and they decided to sell it. They made about $15 million and left me with nothing. I had to find my own job. And the way my stepdad puts it is, it's his money that he earned. Now it's time for me to earn mine.
How's your relationship with them?
It's good. I mean, I was pretty bitter for a while, but I mean, I can't really get mad at them. You know, it's their money, so I still love them.
Do you ever think about what you would have done if they had given you a bunch of money?
Yeah, I'd probably get in a lot of trouble. I'd probably, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not work as hard as I do now.
So, Ernie, if you made a bunch of money, what would you do with your kids in turn?
I'd just like to set everything up. You know, at least a house and a car and college and things like that.
Yeah, set them up with
that up for my kids. And set them up with little kids.
Sometimes God does stuff, and he knows. Like, I think God knows. If I had made me an athlete for millions of dollars, there ain't no telling what I would have got off into. I mean, I think for a fact, smarter spirits and thoughts right there in the universe that keep us out of trouble.
So God didn't make you an athlete because you would be stupid.
Dude, dude, ain't no so telling. He knows my weakness. I can't handle that kind of money and that kind of success.
You're your done with money
was,
now.
Yeah, your weakness was making babies.
Exactly. Just imagine with the
you
little
still
bit.
You live like an athlete.
With the little bit I got now, look what I'm doing. Man, if I had millions.
You would have paid child support.
Ain't no telling what kind of trouble I'd be off into.
You're in trouble now.
I'd be the best dressed bum ever.
I think of that. I think if God would have made me a hot little, you know, cheerleader in high school, I wouldn't have developed this fabulous personality and be sitting with you here today.
You're right.
I would be married to a multimillionaire and be living the life of a kept woman and enjoying myself thoroughly. Thank you, God.
He's a bitter, angry, vindictive woman.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. He knows.
So that's why you're not athletic, Al.
God be knowing. Hashtag God be knowing.
Is that what you told the Cowboys when you tried out for them?
Yeah.
God did not want God.
Hey, Cowboys, I'm sorry, Dallas Cowboys.
God did not want me running a 4.640.
God made me slow and with no hands.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
I'm super excited, you know, for obvious reasons, that Todd Graves is in studio with us today with Raising Cane's, the founder, the president, and a big supporter of Kids Kids. Thank you, Todd, for being here.
Oh, thanks for having
me. Hey, Todd.
Hold up.
What?
I don't smell any chicken.
Yeah, Todd, what's the chicken at, man?
What's up? You roll up in here without chicken?
Oh, I brought a bunch, but the crew ate it all.
Oh, damn crew.
Todd, is this already the third year we've been partnering up with you?
It is, the third year.
Wow.
And we're even more excited than we've ever been.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Yeah. Yeah, sweetie.
Right.
I love having you in because you always seem to have good news.
Yeah, because today is a very special day. That's why you're in, because today is dine-in day at all Raising Cane's locations today.
For anybody that's ever been involved with kids, the families, I mean, I know there's over 1,000 strong now. Go to any Raising Cane's nationwide and we're going to feed you. Go get whatever you want. Have a good time. This is a special day for us.
Kids and their immediate families go in, they get a free box combo today.
Just go and feed them and have a good time.
That's so nice of you. Mm-hmm. Hopefully a lot of the kids families are listening to that right now and they're jumping in the car.
Oh, they know.
The nearest location.
Oh, we send them out.
Oh, they know.
Hey, guys. For those who are wondering, why did you pick Kids? What was the reason?
What is it about our charity that touched you in Raising Cane's?
Well, I started off being a fan of the show, so and I listened to it in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, WFMF, and so I listened to it religiously since I was real young, you know, driving to school in the mornings, and so I became a fan of the show and the fan of all you and of Kid, and then when he got into the charity, getting to hear the stories were really wonderful, so you can kind of touch base with that, and then that's when we first reached out to y'all and said, how can we help? It was a perfect tie-in for us, and it was a way to kind of get involved. And then actually when I got to go on the trip and get to actually meet the kids and meet the parents and do all that, I was really, really touched. And I keep talking about how my crew is so important to me. I could come back and share that with them. So it was really something we could all do together for a really good cause and for these kids and the parents, too, just for the parents to be able to have a break because they don't.
Yeah, because you saw firsthand what we do on this trip. And would you consider that a life-changing experience for you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you can see the pictures, and you can feel the emotion.
Right.
And when you get there and see these kids with these chronically ill or terminally ill conditions, but smiling and energetic and going, and then when you talk to the parents and say, we couldn't afford this trip because we've spent our life savings on these medical things, and we get to go have fun and have this first-class, wonderful trip. What's a better place than Disney World? Yeah, it was very life-changing.
So today is a day just of fun for kids families reuniting. Wouldn't that be fun to walk into a Raising Cane's and see two or three other kids families that have been on previous trips? It's such a bonding thing. So if you have your kids T-shirts, I strongly encourage wearing those today. But we're actually going to do the fundraising on September 3rd, and that's when Raising Cane's even has like a special button on the cash register where you can just walk in and do the kids donation, which makes it so easy.
We have the kids button, so go in. Well, on the 3rd, it's just a good day for everybody to rally around this wonderful cause and come in. And what we do is we do 15% of our gross sales that go on that day, and it raises a ton of money. I mean, I expect to raise $60,000 or $70,000 in that day.
That's awesome.
It's a good way to enjoy a good meal and let us go and help support you guys.
Well, hopefully we can have you back to talk about that when it comes to September the 3rd. But today I understand you're doing something a little special to kick off the campaign.
Yeah, we are, you know, and I love to start this off and not only be involved with you guys spiritually and emotionally in this deal. It takes a lot of money to finance this deal, and so I'm going to do it just like we've always done it. We're going to start off with our $10,000 big check here.
Oh! Yay! I happen to see that peeking over your shoulder there.
Look how big that thing is.
Al, how did you not smell money?
Oh, I was smelling for chicken.
Now, if they can give us scented $10,000 checks that smell like Raising Cane's chicken fingers.
Oh, my gosh.
Edible checks.
Or the sauce. Yeah.
Yeah.
Breaded chick.
That is so generous. And that's just to get the ball rolling, $10,000. And that makes, like, what over the years you've given as Raising Cane's to our charity?
Over $150,000.
Todd, you've given, you guys have donated over $150,000.
Dude, and a piece of chicken is just like a dollar and a half. So,
yeah, man.
You sold a lot of chicken.
At any moment have you gone, I think I've donated enough money?
Absolutely not. You know, we're real good at serving great chicken finger meals, and we're real proud of that. And because of that, we also make some good money, and it's nice to get on Vision, Kids Vision, all Vision, and be a part of this to help support that. So this is not just for me. This is from all my crew and all the Raising Cane's nationwide. They get very excited about this. And us being a little small part of this deal, it just makes us happy. So this is on behalf of all our crew.
Thank you.
Hope to have many, many more years of this wonderful event and be involved with you.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to tell you what's been life-changing for me.
What?
Chicken finger?
Raising Cane's sauce.
That's what I'm talking about.
Put that on everything. Mm-hmm. It's life-changing experience there.
I'd throw that $10,000 check back for a four-piece right now.
I would pay you my paycheck for one.
Well, we love Raising Cane's, and everyone that's worked there has done for Kids Kids. We love the partnership with Raising Cane's, and hopefully that'll continue for a long time to come. And thank you today. And remember, for all the kids from the past, hopefully the ones that are going to be going with us this year.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Today is Dine-In Day at any Raising Cane's location across the country. Any one of them, right, Todd?
There's 190 locations in 18 states.
So go in and get your free box combo today, you and your immediate family. And then we'll have you back, Todd, on September 3rd. And thank you for kicking off the donation with $10,000 today.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
One love, Todd. One love.
Yeah. One love.
Actually, today it should be like 10,000 loves.
The Kid Craddock Morning Show is back.
We are trying to give one young artist the big break they've been waiting for.
They've been waiting 15 years.
15 or 16 years for this big break.
Ish.
That's why we had a competition, perhaps.
Kind of.
Big break.
I mean, it was really more of a nationwide talent
search. Yeah.
We were looking for teens between 13 and 17. Submit a video. We want, you know, there's so much talent out there, and we have this great national platform, and we just kind of want to help you, along with the professional Linda Septian Entertainment Group, you know, get this big break with training and whatnot. And it got narrowed down to 8-4 based on online votes, and now we have our winner, Madison Applegate.
Hey.
Joining us in studio.
Yes. Welcome, Madison.
Hi.
She's here for the week training hardcore boot camp, really. Entertainment superstar boot camp with Linda Septian. Because vocal coach to the stars.
Madison, being an artist is not one of those things where you just go in a studio, you sing for 20 minutes, you're done, and then you go to your mansion.
No.
Being an artist.
Well, for some artists, that is exactly what it's like, JC.
I doubt it.
That's how it works for Coolio.
She hasn't reached that status yet.
No, even the ones that are making a lot of money are working hard, and they're working a lot of hours, and you're getting firsthand experience in that.
Definitely, yes. Lots of hard work, it's a lot of physical work as well as mental adjusting, but you know, it's like they said, it's a crash course. I'm doing months and months of training and work in 1 week.
Which is overwhelming.
Yeah.
So you have two days down so far. You have, what, 3 or 4 more days to go before a big showcase.
Yes.
Over the weekend with a bunch of record executives, right?
Right.
Are the nerves starting to kick in a little bit?
A little bit. It's kind of starting to feel a little scary because, you know, we've got to put together a whole performance with the band. And we have to put together the song still. And it's getting to the point where I'm kind of like, oh, my gosh, this is in 4 days. Like,
did you freak out already?
So much.
I don't want to bust you or anything, Madison, but we understand you had a little meltdown yesterday.
Not totally. It was kind of like,
that's fine.
It's okay.
It's okay. It's an emotional time. It's overwhelming.
Kelly
melts
down all the time.
Yeah. We do it on
already this morning. Mm-hmm. I've been in tears twice.
Happens.
No, it's okay. It'll actually make you more likable with your fans. So tell us what happened.
Well, you know, this is so different than anything I've ever done before. So I was just getting overwhelmed with, there's a lot of pressure on me and I didn't want to completely change who I am. So I was trying to figure out how to balance keeping me while still appealing to, you know, the young audience. So kind of just had to step away for a minute, get frustrated. Mm-hmm. But then it was with Kat and stage presence when this happened. Mm-hmm. And she was awesome about it. You know, she was like, you know what? It's good to cry. I'm never gonna let you live it down, but it's good. It's good to do this, you know. And she goes, and then of course, right after, I kind of was just like, went into it, and she goes, "That's the best time you've ever done it, Maddie."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was the best time you've ever heard.
I thought that would be hard because, you know, you're a singer-songwriter, so you're sitting in front of your computer and your audition video and interviews we've done with you. You know, you're playing your ukulele and your guitar and looking into a Skype camera.
Right.
Basically FaceTiming.
In the
or
comfort of
this is different.
Home.
YouTube videos online, and there might be comments here and there, but this, they're trying to really, like, immerse you in the pop star. Like, you have to work the stage.
Right.
And that's hard because there's acting involved.
Definitely.
And putting yourself out there. I think that would be the hardest part of it.
And stuff, that's been the biggest challenge for me so far. But, you know, this whole point of this is to pull me out of my comfort zone. I mean, I can't go out on the House of Blues stage with a guitar in my lap and sit in a stool. That's
it's a
just,
big stage.
What if you put your bed from your bedroom at home on stage at the House of Blues and your dresser and your computer right there? It would make you feel at home while you're at the House of Blues. House of Blues. Your house.
Make- your setup
genius.
Is your room.
Wow, Al.
This is genius.
Why aren't you part of the Septian Entertainment
Group? I should
group?
Be. I'm going to call Linda as soon as we get off the air.
But right. prior to this, have you performed on stage ever?
I've always done musical theater. So I'm really used to, you know, the proper style of stage presence, if that makes sense. You know, I'm used to musical theater. And so this is totally different. I mean, I've never had to feel like a rock star before, if that makes sense. So, but I'm really working on it. I have a nice room to practice in. So
for those kids who are in theater right now and maybe have aspirations to become an artist, a pop star, what is the difference between performing for a musical and performing music?
Okay. It's huge.
Because now you realize the difference, right?
Oh, definitely. In musical theater, it's really focused on your vocals and sounding pretty, you know, and looking like a character. This is all about connecting with your audience. Cat's number one rule is pretend like the audience can't hear you. So it's all about telling the story of your song with your body and with your face, which you do that in musical theater, but this is to a whole extent. She goes, I don't care if you sound horrible. If you connect with the audience, that's what's going to sell it.
Hmm. Emotions.
Yes.
Convincing them.
I think also as an artist, I was just reading your blog, which everyone can follow on kidnation.com.
It's like reading her diary.
It is.
It's weird.
And I think, you know, as an artist, because you consider yourself an artist, right? And part of what you, like, I think a little moment of, I don't know, an epiphany you had yesterday, you said, I'm gaining followers, respect, knowledge, and confidence while losing anonymity, free time, full control of my product, and sometimes my mind. That's kind of hard when you have to turn over your songs to somebody else who's molding them into something that didn't sound at all like it did when you first started.
Right. And, you know, like I said, I'm completely open to change. If it's going to make it better, if it's going to make it more marketable, that's great. For the most part, I've been so pleased that they aren't completely changing the lyrics or the melody. You know, it's still my song.
But.
And as long as it stays my song, then that's when I'm happy. I'm loving the changes. You know, like I said, it's pulling me out of my comfort zone. I'm doing something different. And so far, I think it's working, you know.
And speaking of the changes, one of your homework assignments was to write a bridge for the song that's being morphed into what it's become. How did that go, the homework assignment?
Actually went really well. I don't know why, I just never got around to writing a bridge for this. So I went home and my grandpa stayed with us that night. And, you know, he's a musician.
So he helped you out?
He did. He was such a great help. You know, they kind of just, my mom and my grandfather just really kind of got me in the good mindset to write. You know, I was stressed out from that day. And so everyone loved the bridge yesterday when I gave it to them.
Well, we actually have a clip of that. Carlo gave you that homework assignment. We're talking with Madison Applegate, who's getting her big break this week from our show and the Linda Septian Group. And you're not going to believe how she responded to this homework assignment. Or challenge. It was more of like a challenge because you hadn't done this before. This is what you came up with.
So, like I told you yesterday, you had to figure out a bridge because your song was missing that one last piece that was going to tie it all together. If your chorus is your main idea, so what you're trying to get across in your song, then your bridge should be reiterating that fact. So, for example, in your song, you're talking about how you're done with him, but you can't stop thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And then, so what were the words that you said?
The words that I came up with last night, I kind of wanted to, like you said, say what the chorus was saying, but in a different sort of way. Mm-hmm. So the lyrics that I came up with were, I'm looking for closure. Are we through? Is there still hope there? Raw exposure. Bring it on back. Bring it on over.
And that's... That's actually really perfect. The only thing is you want to, since that part is like really important, bring it on back, bring it on over, you got to like emphasize it with the way that you're playing it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to go, why don't you just sing it and I'll show you what
All
I
right,
mean.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Let's see.
I'm looking for closure.
when you do that, it kind of just brings it out. Awesome. So, I mean, I think we can stick a fork in her. I think you're done with the song here.
Wow. Awesome. Thank you. Well,
that's huge.
Creating a song is like playing with Legos almost. Right? Because you're plugging in a different Lego into the song that you already have created.
Mm-hmm. I've made some pretty ugly things with Legos.
Oh, I have too. I'm trying to make a giraffe.
The instructions.
Look at JC trying to get little. I know you were listening to the guitar. Like, what am I going to work on tonight?
Well, you know, if Madison ever needs a guitar player because hers breaks his arm.
Have you ever considered the possibility, and I know we hear about this happening, of artists that we haven't really heard about write these songs, and then a huge star is like, I love that song. Can I have it? Would you give that up to someone? I mean, what if...
Ooh, good question.
It really depends on what song it was. I feel like this song that I'm working on now is kind of like my baby.
Now you're too close to it.
Right. You know, a lot of my music, I write when I'm in a really emotional state, you know, like when I'm feeling a lot. So it's hard to give up something that is about your life and about a real experience.
Until you see them zeros.
Mm-hmm.
Like, take it.
Yeah.
That happens if I were a boy, right?
Well, yeah, Beyonce exactly.
Beyonce wanted that song, yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, Madison, we have a special guest on the phone who was one of Septian's students.
Okay.
And this person has some words of wisdom for you.
Okay.
Everybody say hello.
This is a surprise for Madison.
Yes, oh, this is a huge surprise. Okay, she has no idea who this is. To the world famous... Demi Lovato.
Yeah, it is.
Hi, Demi.
Hello.
Hey, Demi. What's up?
Going great. How are you?
This is Madison.
That's what Jenna. Jenna asked you that question because Demi wants to buy your song.
Yeah, actually, that's really why she's calling. No.
Now, Demi, it's so great of you to call.
I could get it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's so great of you to call in because you've had a long history working with Linda Septian and the Septian Entertainment Group. How have they kind of helped? You know, with the very start of your career and continuing to help with your career, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Whenever I'm in Dallas, Linda comes and she helps warm me up, and she's so great. I love Linda. I started with Septian when I was about 8 years old, and even then, I kind of learned that in this industry, it's much more than singing. You have to, you benefit more, and you have a better chance that. Being successful and even just better at your art if you create the music yourself instead of just singing it. So I learned at 8 that that I should start, you know, writing music and playing instruments. And so that's what I did. And it was really kind of like a music school for me.
Yeah.
Where mm-hmm. I learned so much that I apply it to the real world and my daily career.
Well, we have... Madison Applegate, we already told you that, here in studio with us. We got Demi Lovato for you, Madison. So this is your time to ask Demi Lovato anything you want to ask her because she went through what you're going through right now.
But no personal questions, Madison.
Yeah, no personal questions.
Keep it professional.
Right. Okay, so I guess...
Don't easy on me.
So something that we've already discussed and I'm kind of going through is how did you learn how to balance staying true to yourself and the artist that you wanted to be while at the same time... appealing to the younger audience and appealing to, you know, what people want to hear and like.
Oh, good question.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, that's a good question. I see where you're coming from. Fortunately for me, like, the music that I like and the music that I want to play is pop music. I think a lot of people struggle with that when they're more of an indie artist and they... you know, and they want to play one music, but they know that pop music is going to sell or this song is catchier. And for me, I love pop music. I love catchy music. And then I save the emotional songs and heavy stuff for the meat of the album. I always make sure that I'm never compromising who I am or what my music is for anybody else's liking. And, so that's kind of something that I've always just had in my blood. You know, I've always been who I, like, I'm trying not to curse on the radio. But
Demi Lovato, do not curse.
Yeah, I've never never given a crap about what other people think.
there you go.
Well, Demi, what about your stage presence? Mm-hmm. Because I think that's something, you know, Madison has been, that's been the hardest thing for her, just playing her guitar, you know, making the YouTube videos, and then, you know,
transitioning.
This is a huge part of it, and this is something, you know, you're known for it, and you just work that stage. Do you have any advice for her of, like, maybe what you think about before you go on that stage, or what you're thinking about when you're out on the stage to connect with the audience?
Yeah, well, when my first few years touring, I remember I would lock down my dressing room an hour beforehand. I would go into lockdown, warm up, focus, stretch, do whatever I needed to do to get ready for the show, and that really helped me for a while. And then I realized, well, I like to have fun before the show, so instead of that, you know, I will now hang out with whoever's with me. I'll make sure that I warm up, whether it's with my background singers or it's by myself, and I do some exercises to get my blood pumping. But when it comes to stage presence and how to perform on stage, the trickiest thing is there's nothing that you can really do to just all of a sudden be a good performer. What you have to do is you have to go out there. You're going to be nervous your first time. It's totally okay. But if you're not, then there's a problem. And you just got to go out there and do your best, and it just comes with experience. So when I perform on stage, I'm definitely more comfortable than I was even just 6 months ago. You know, I get comfortable more and more as I perform.
Now, speaking of performing on stage, Demi's World Tour kicks off on September 6th in Baltimore. She has stops in New York, Texas, North Carolina, Louisiana, Florida, Oklahoma. That sounds like the United States, not the world, Demi. But you will be.
It's our world.
Yeah. No, you will be going to Europe and doing a world tour with Enrique Iglesias.
Ooh. Yes, I'm actually, the first leg of the tour is in North America.
Yeah.
So I just did the Neon Lights tour, and it went so well and that we now are going to put on a bigger show, and it's really, really exciting for me. I'm going to tour here in the United States and North America, and then after that, I am going to go to Europe with Enrique Iglesias, but there's definitely the world tour will continue over a period of time. Mm-hmm. So it's not all back-to-back-to-back because I, like, can't do that. But I will hit as many markets as possible and just you know, try to see all of my fans everywhere that they are. Because I've had years where my friends are like, why don't you ever come to Australia? I'm like, oh, my God, I'm coming.
You will. You'll make. Is it hard to keep your hands off of Enrique?
It's hard for JC. That's why Enrique will refuse to come in our studio.
You can go to demilovato.com for all the dates, tickets, and info. And also, you have your video for Really Don't Care premiering on Thursday.
That's tomorrow.
It's already Wednesday.
Yes,
it is. And Madison, you're going to be shooting.
I'm really excited about that.
You didn't ask us to be in it, Demi.
Yeah.
No, see, I invited you, but then I guess you didn't see it.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah, we
misspelled your name on the email.
Yeah.
We're ducking your calls, Demi. That's why. Sorry about that.
Hey, Demi, I have to ask
you. Yeah, you're too busy, huh?
I have to ask you one kind of tabloidy question because, you know, that's what we do on this show with celebrity gossip. What's up with you in this run-in with the
Kelly Raspberry.
Yeah, I know.
You know how
but this run-in you had with the paparazzi, we covered the story yesterday about how out of control they were, that you went on Twitter to apologize to your fans because they were so out of control. And then we heard how another one just threatened the life of, you know, Harley Pasternak, and he was arrested. What, you know, as a celebrity from your perspective, what has to happen to get the situation under control with the paparazzi?
You know, honestly, I don't know what it's going to take for paparazzi to be controlled. I understand that it's their job and they have to make a living, and I actually feel sad for whoever feels like they have to be mean to people to get what they need in order to, you know, make a living. And it's really unfortunate that people have to bully other people for a career. I understand it comes with the territory, so a lot of people are like, well, why do you complain? If you don't like it, then get out of the industry. The problem is I like being a musician. I like living my dreams. It's just now we live in a society where paparazzi feel so entitled and that I don't understand when I was under 18. I don't understand how it's okay for a 35-year-old man to sit outside my house and follow me. I don't know how that's okay, but it's not okay if he doesn't have a camera. It's okay because he has a camera. You know what I mean? Which is, like, even weirder.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't make sense to me. And I feel like there needs to be some laws set in place, but it's tricky. And I don't know. I saw that. I think like Justin Bieber got in a car accident or something yesterday.
He did.
Like, how many car accidents have happened? Like, is it going to take someone? You know, Princess Diana already died. What's going to happen? You know, what needs to change? So, I was just speaking my mind because I wanted to let my fans know that I wasn't blowing them off. Like, I appreciate every single fan that's outside, and I wanted to say hello to them. But I just didn't want to put myself in a position where I felt like it would jeopardize me emotionally or even physically. So I told them, they understood, and because I have the best fans in the world.
Yeah. Well, Demi, if you ever need a body double to throw off the paparazzi, we'll donate Big Al Mac for you.
A body double?
Yeah.
What?
He looks like Demi Lovato.
I'm sorry.
You can borrow Big Al.
I'm sorry, Demi.
Wouldn't I have been maybe a closer match?
Yeah, JC's been sniffing his own hot sauce this morning or something.
Why don't we look like? I don't get it. Why don't we look like?
Yeah,
because he doesn't have hair to dye.
And, you know, Demi, he's black.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're colorblind and all
Demi,
that.
Demi, could you go tanning so Al can be your body double?
Yeah, you're going to have to work into that.
Well, that's actually another excellent lesson. That's actually another excellent lesson for Madison. This might be what you're signing up for.
Are you
got to really love
this?
It.
Yes.
Well, I do look up to artists like you, Demi, where, you know, you're mature about it. And because, you know, artists who retaliate against those things, it ends up, you know, you don't want to sink to their level. So I really admire, you know, artists like Demi who take the mature route.
We admire you, Demi.
Is that part of the boot
Thank
camp?
Thank you. Yeah. We flipped them off the other day.
Yeah. Well, Demi, I know you're busy and you got to get going.
I'm
so
not entirely mature with it.
Thanks for giving us a call, babe.
Thank you, Demi, for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Call us anytime.
Madison, and it's always great to hear from you guys.
Thank you.
Love you, Demi. You're awesome.
You are free to call us anytime to promote anything you want.
Yes
you
can.
Are.
Demi Lovato, everybody.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah.
Well, we're not done with you, Madison.
Mm-mm.
In fact, I was wondering, since this stage presence thing is what you're kind of struggling with, I happen to have a smaller stage than the House of Blues and maybe a smaller clientele as well.
She can't go to your house.
So, no.
That's
no.
Weird.
Oh, okay.
But I do have a bar that has... We have had some of the biggest in music. We've had Coolio. We've had Tone Loc. We've had...
Too big to name some of them because we don't remember.
We've had Digital Underground. But we've never had a little young white girl. So, why don't you...
Minor. Is that okay for a minor to perform in a bar?
If her mom and daddy are there, it's okay. It's okay. As long as you're not drinking. But, you know. Now, why don't you grab your guitar?
The other way.
Why don't you grab your guitar? And tonight, we can have a few people come out. You know, not a lot, because I don't want to put pressure on people. And
you don't want to make money or anything. Why promote her appearance at your bar?
But I want you to grab your guitar, come on out tonight, and just kind of practice. Get a feel of it, all right?
That's what
Demi
said.
Is that cool?
I can definitely do that.
I got a little bit of a stage. Yeah, I got a microphone. We can make this happen. Tonight, 7:30.
Now, the World Cup game's probably going to be going on as you're playing, if that's okay.
It'll be over.
As her acting agent right now, can she get free dinner?
She can get free dinner, yeah.
All right, just making sure.
Absolutely. Get some chicken wings for you.
There you go, Madison. You want anything else?
That sounds perfect.
That sounds good. Okay, Al, we're
chicken
good.
Wings and lemonade. All right,
Al, where do people go?
McKinney Avenue Tavern, 2822 McKinney Avenue. I'll see you there tonight.
No. Get all the info and directions at kidnation.com.
There you go.
That's what Al meant to say. Madison, can't wait to hear how well you do at Al's bar tonight.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
We're proud for you. We're proud of you.
Pretty exciting for Demi Lovato to call in.
I know.
That was all for
pretty
you.
Pretty cool.
That's all she wanted to do. We'll hear Madison tomorrow, too.
Got it.
This is the Kid Craddock Morning Show. Mm-hmm.